only one thing wrong with this bacon and egg idea of yours, Ian. For you, it is only requires a contribution. But for me, it means total commitment. Just a little something to get you there for the bacon part of it. Ian's just going to grab some eggs. And that takes us to our message this morning. The title of our message this morning is Committed to God. Commitment to God. And really, we really talk about a little bit is just our commitment. You know, we look at today's time, there's a lot going on. And we could sometimes have opportunities where we're not as committed as we were in the past. Or we've been around for a long time. Or we've got things in our life that may even keep us away from it. So there's a lot of different things that can happen in life that can really affect our commitment to God. The definition of commitment is this. It says, feeling dedicated and loyal to a cause, activity, or job, wholeheartedly dedicated to God. I thought that was really amazing, that commitment. They put God in there. You know, John C. Broger puts a quote out, says, living God's way means putting away your self-centeredness and committing yourself to follow God's word, in spite of feeling to the contrary. So that is really what we look at when we talk about committing to God. So we're going to be over in, if you go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 14 to 13. And y'all know this is a little bit about Israel. And I'll give y'all a moment to get there. And we'll read that.
Deuteronomy's before.
But, you know, this is, during this pandemic time, I know a lot of times we get into a situation where we're away from, like me, away from family, away from each other. Not being connected with people. And we can have moments where we don't feel as committed to where we need to be. So we're going to read a little bit here about what the Israel is talking about. In verse 4, it says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves, O Lord, to these commands that I have given to you today.
Repeat them again and again
to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on your doorpost and your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made the vow your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from crystal that you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Mm-hmm. You must fear the Lord your God and serve. So as you think about that, I want y'all thinking a little bit about commitment. And you see the Israelites, you know, it's that story at the back, the bottom part of that, they're going to get a lot. And they didn't even do anything to get it. God is going to provide them with so much. But I want you to think a little quick questions here about commitment. How many of you like being friends with committed people? How many of you have people in your life that you wish would be more committed? How many of you think you're committed people? You don't have to raise your hand or do anything with that. But I want you to think about those few questions. Give you a little statistic on what they say about commitment. They say the average American works 45 hours a week. We spend 31 hours a week watching TV, 15 hours a week online, keeping up with the Joneses, $10,000 in credit debt, 60 hours a week sleep. These are things that we're committed to. Here's some things that we're not committed to. Over 50% of the marriages end in divorce. 1 hour a week in religious activities, half hour a week volunteering in services, 1.5 hours a week exercising, and 2.6% of your income is given to the church. 2.6, not 10%, 2.6 is given in your income to the church. And this is average. It's interesting what we're committed to in our lives as you look at these two statistics. Some things that we are committed to has nothing to do with God, but the things that seem to be with God, you've seen a lot of times in our lives are less committed to. So I want to give you 4 points today that we're going to talk about. The first one is how giving all you got to God. The second one, staying sharp. The third one, be ready for the mother load. I like the way that says, the mother load. And the last one would be never forgetting God. See, right, being committed to God brings right choices to right people. And you will be blessed abundantly according to God's word. In point one, giving all you got to God, let's go back to Deuteronomy 6:4. And it says there, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. See, we're going to break that down a little bit, and I'm going to get into the heart and the soul and strength. But those are three important parts of what God needs from you to be committed. Because he has to have all three of those, or the commitment will not work. You know, in Exodus, you don't have to turn to verse 20 and 5, it says, you shall not bow down to them and worship them, for the Lord your God is a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You know, God's a jealous God. He wants your commitment. He don't want you out there giving everything to everyone else. He's asking you, number one is, what is your commitment to me? Because he's jealous. He says it in the scripture. I don't want you giving all you have to TV. In fact, he don't want you giving all to your spouse or your children. God is jealous. God says, I come first. And that's understandable, because without God, you have no wife and no children. So you got to put them in perspective of what's first in your life. What are you committed to? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do to be close to God? Because the commitment ain't always easy. In fact, a lot of times it's a difficult road. We all know this in our lives. We have trials and tribulations. We go through different things, life expectancy, things that we weren't expecting. But again, our God is a jealous God. He still wants your commitment. So let's look at the heart. What about the heart? Well, you look at the heart. Heart is a deceitful little thing there, you know. And people go, well, I just like how I feel. It's a feeling. Or people will say things like, well, you know, my heart ain't in it, you know, those kind of things. Don't be deceived by the heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, it said, God wants to ensure that you have a pure heart. It says that he wants to make sure that your heart is pure, because he needs your heart to be pure in order for you to be serving him and committed to him. You know, a lot of times I know with the pandemic, we can get away from being committed. We can get away from our hearts being put into it. We'll do some things, you know what I mean, on the surface. But again, if your heart's not in it, then what good is it? You know, God says, I judge the heart of you. Even when we talk about contribution, what do we say? Don't give God if your heart ain't in it. Might as well keep it. But that's the same way with everything in life, not just your contribution, your time, what you give to those who are seeking and saving the lost, going out and serving in the community. As sitting here still quite a few times, this is a time to go out and be, asking people to get online with you, asking people to understand, hey, we have an outlet for you in this time of pandemic. Come see what we have to offer. Come see what God has done for us so that we can give back to you. I think so many times we let our heart determine how we go
and we don't put God first in our hearts, so we end up going the wrong way, or we end up doing something we don't want to do. Second thing you need to look at is, it says, your heart, and next is your soul. Oh, what is a soul? You know, the essence of, it says the essence of your being, your conscience or your personality. See, God wants our soul. He wants our heart and our soul. You know, in Psalm 116, it says, our soul find rest and rejuvenation in him. So your soul itself finds rest in God, Psalm 116 says. You can find rest in God through your soul. And your soul is important because at the end, when we leave this world, that's the only thing we leave it here with. As I always say, ain't no hurts traveling behind us. Ain't no family members going with us. It's just our soul to be judged. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, we forget about that part, our soul. We think about what's going on here in this world. But there's a world after this. There's a goal that we all must be committed to. And that goal is to serve God and to get closer to God. One day, Rich and I always say, you've already got your ticket. It just hadn't been punched yet. But the ticket's there. We all got it. The day we were born, we got the ticket. The question is, how committed are you going to be until your ticket's pushed? See, once that ticket is punched, then at that point in time, you now, your decisions are all made up. The time is gone. There's no more decisions to be made. You moved on. Your family's left behind. We're weeping, but at the end of the day, your time has come. The commitment to God is no joke because, like I said earlier, next, he is a jealous God. We don't want to get to the gates and get there and go, hey, I don't know you, bro. I've seen some of the things you've done. I know some of your accolades, but guess what? You're far, far away from me because, number one, your heart and your soul went in it. You were doing it for other reasons, maybe to impress someone, maybe to just show off to others, or maybe just to make the funk and just look good. Whichever way that is, doesn't matter. Because you know what? You can fool man, but you can never fool God. So I want to think about that as we go on. The next one is our strength. You know, and this is not a physical strength. This is more of our strength and our emotions, the strength in our mass, strength in our numbers. Strength is not always about power. You know, in Ephesians, it says, you know, I love Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 20. If you'll turn there. That's one of my favorite scriptures if y'all get there. You know, this is, to me, it's about your strength when it comes to being with God. See, God is interested in your strength that you use for him, but this is how we get the strength. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 20 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take your helmet of salvation and your sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will be fiercely making known the mysteries of the gospel. Which so I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it prayers fiercely as I should.
I know they on that breastplate. It's almost we got to go to war. That's your strength. But your strength is in what? Prayer. That's the biggest thing I got. It's in prayer. Putting on that armor, praying. We have to be prayed up. And the other one is the Word of God. We cannot take moments and not be in our scriptures. I just say those quiet times are important. See, in this pandemic time, we can get away from it. We can say, oh, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. Or, oh, you know what? I'll get it this evening. I'll get it another time. No. God is asking you to put that breastplate on and that armor on every day of your life. The Word of God, with prayer, fasting, you know, whatever you need to do to stay committed. Because the evil one is coming. No matter where you believe or what you think, he is always working. He's always scheming. He's always trying to figure out a way to destroy you and your family and your friends. But if we don't put on this and have the strength, then we cannot go against God, help God. You know, so those three things I want you to really look at. Your soul, your heart, and your strength. Those are the first parts. That's my first part. It's going to take me into my second part here. Staying sharp. When, you know, and that's not like dressed up sharp. That is a different sharp. You know, so, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 and 9, let's go back there. It says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at your home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on symbols of your hands and bind them on your footies. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. See, here it is. We're warning you. God is asking you to be sharp. Put these things in motion. Put them in your children. Talk about them. If you don't talk about God, how are people going to know about God? How are people, anybody going to understand anything about God? You know, it says here, impress them on your children. Talk about it to your kids. When you sit at home, when you're walking along the road, that's what we say, hey, you know, we got an opportunity. We're out. We're all about God. That's what people need to see. Even for the word, put it on your forehead. Walk around. In other words, looking sharp is looking like God. That's what it's saying. That's the commitment. When you're out and about, people don't have to figure out who you are, what you're thinking about. All they need to do is that once you open your mouth, what they see is, wow, that is a man or woman of God. They are committed to God just by how they carry themselves. They look very, very sharp because of the God. Not because of their dress or their appearance, but because how they present God to those that they meet. Your representation of God is important. People don't, you know, there's so many on out there, so many different groups, different ways of, you know, I always say that some religions have hijacked religion because they preach such falseness. They're not preaching about what's real. But at the end of the day, you have got to go out and be sharp. Sharp about God. Sharp about your discussion, your commitment to God. That's what's important. That's what God wants us to be about. Like I say, this is a time for us to step up, be sharp, put it in your life. Like I said, when you're walking around, praying, jogging, if you're out in the park, you know what? I'm all about God out here. Enjoy myself. But I always looking for an opportunity to share God's word. So it says also, it says, write them on your doorposts. I believe, you know, have spiritual things in your home. When people come to your house, I mean, it don't have to look like a church now, but you can at least have some stuff about God. Praying in this, I always like the little symbols. Those who are in this house, this is a praying house or these things like that. You see them all around. But I believe those are the things that are important. God is staying sharp. In other words, we got to look the look because we are the look.
No, I got, I'm on the thing. Everybody got their hands on. I got my eyes off. Hello.
So, at the end of the day, you got to be staying sharp when it comes to looking at God. The next is, you go over to the point number three. Be ready for the mother load. Check out verses 10 and 11. It says here, the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is with goods you did not produce. I'm sorry, let me go back. It's land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses were richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from the cisterns that you did not dig, and you will eat from the vineyards and the olive trees you did not plant. See, God is ready to bless us at all times. He's ready to give us opportunities. You know, he says that, you know, here it is, he's talking to Israel. They came into a land that wasn't even their land at the time. God said, you know what? I love you so much because of your commitment to me that I'm going to give you things that you don't even deserve, that you didn't even, you know, take the time to build yourself. You know, what an amazing God. You see, that's still the same God of today. He can do that for us just as well. He can walk us into situations. But you know what? We ain't supposed to be there, but all of a sudden God is with us, and it looks like we're supposed to be there because of God. That's like, you know, we're always looking for jobs and opportunities. As long as we're staying committed to God, those things will come. It takes time. It's not always going to happen when you want it to happen, because it's not about you. It's about God. God plans the time for all of our lives. He puts us in situations. He tells us when we need to, where we need to be. Just the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to listen? Or we're going to listen to ourselves? Or we're going to let Satan come and steal what little joy we have? Like I said, I know this is a pandemic time. We don't get to go out as much. We don't get to do all the things that we're used to doing. But God ain't going anywhere. God is still in control. God still makes the decision on whatever's going to happen to this world. No matter what the government or anybody else says, God is still God. And God still wants, like I said earlier, he's still a jealous God. He still wants your commitment. Because sometimes in hard times, it's to teach us something. We go through these things and to make us, number one, better people, stronger people. You know, you got to understand, God didn't bring you here just for a moment. He brought you here for the long haul. It takes me into my next slides. Never forgetting God, my fourth point. It says, we're experiencing some change today. We're going through a lot of different things. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me the victory. Songs of joy, songs of victory. See, God is ready to completely give us what we need. You know, God says that, you know what, never, but the thing about it is, it says, never forget God. In verse 12, it says, never forget the giver. See, God has given us a lot. He always is continuing to give us. We ought to understand that, you know, how many times, you know, we all get Christmas presents. You know, okay, I got my Christmas present. But you know what? Next year, you don't even remember where you got it from. Because you know what? It wasn't a gift that lasts. But see, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that lasts forever. But you know what? You too can forget that gift as well. Because you stop being committed to what God wants you. You forgot staying on your knees and praying. You forget to sit down and read our scriptures and our Bible. We forget to do the things that God has asked us to do to stay committed. We don't put the full armor on every day. We decide on which days we want to and which days we don't. That's not being committed to God. That's committed to yourself. Remember what the gentleman read earlier in the first part? He says, you know what? That quote, living God's way means putting away your self-centeredness and committing yourself to follow God's word in spite of the feelings in comfort. See, we have to put all that away. We have to put those things behind us if we're going to make sure that we are continuing to never forget God. Because God is the only thing that we really do have that's outside of this world is more powerful than anything else. There's no power on this earth that's stronger and more powerful than God. You know, we get caught up in all the different things that the world says, but at the end of the day, Our strength lies in God and in God alone. It doesn't rely on our spouses, our family members, our friends. Yeah, they can help you out. They can be supportive. They can give you, they can pray for you. They can do all these things. But at the end of the day, it's the relationship that you have with God and the commitment to God that's more important than anything else. You know, and many times in our lives, we come through these different trials. We have to understand that God says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is the truth. He's there for you at all times. And like I say, during this time period, we need to be pushing closer to God and not farther away from God. You know, remember God, remember this, as I get ready to close out here. You know, God is the one who brought us from where we are. God is the one who lifted it up during our trials and our pains. God is always preparing us for the next thing. See, the pandemic is here now because God is preparing us for the next thing. You know, maintaining your commitment is more about God than rather than going about yourself. Your success and your future is directly related to your commitment today to God. You know, this is the same God. Now, remember that delivered Israel from Egypt, saved Daniel from the lion's den, kept three men from burning in a furnace, gave David the power to beat the giant, raised Jesus Christ from the grave, and he's the same God that will honor your commitment and your and will emerge you to victory today. You know, in closing, you know, committed people outlast the difficulties. Committed people stick to relationships even though they may not be what they want at the time, but they're committed to them because God has ordained it. You know, we have too many divorces. We have too many things going on in this world. Relationships are not strong because, you know what, people are not committed to God in these relationships. We got to talk to people about that. We got to be examples to people like that as well. In our own marriages, how we treat our spouses, husbands, treating your wife with respect, wives, treating your husband with respect as well. Loving them, showing the example. Somebody's got to set the example. If it ain't us, who? Because the world has a way of going. And then trust me, that is not a commitment to God. Now, as I close, like I said, as I close out here, I want you to think about the four things we talked about here. And that's going back to giving all you got to God, staying sharp, be ready for the mother load, and never forgetting God. Committed people will always see the glory in God. Uncommitted people will not. If you want to see what God can do, take the day. Change however you feel. If you're not feeling committed to God, then you have an opportunity to change that today. God is always here for us. He's always waiting. And if you're committed, then stay committed. You know what? And if you're committed, help someone else who may not be committed. The Bible says, am I not my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We all are our brother's keeper. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift one another up. When one of us is down, we have to stand firm for each other. If we don't have that, then our commitment is already gone. Being committed to God is being outside of yourself. Being committed to God is giving to those that you sometimes, you know what, you don't feel like them. But at the end of the day, God will give you the glory because of your commitment. And I thank you for the opportunity this morning. God be the glory.